Today I want to talk with you about one strategy we use at the KB Reynolds Charitable Trust to impact policy, going along with the theme of our conference here that had a significant impact on mental health services in the state of North Carolina, specifically for providers of domestic violence. We include domestic violence in our definition of healthcare and things that we fund at the trust, and it also falls under the umbrella of mental health services, which is an area of emphasis for us. Just briefly, who we are, it was pretty much mentioned in the opening remarks. Private statewide foundation that funds in the state of North Carolina healthcare programs that primarily benefit low-income individuals. We provide about $30 million in grants annually to such programs. The case study that I want to share with you of how is basically how we were a part of a policy change or shift in North Carolina in partnership with the North Carolina Center for Public Policy Research, a mouthful there. We, the North Carolina Center for Public Policy Research is an independent nonprofit research corporation that evaluates state government programs and also studies public policy issues in North Carolina. When the time that we began meeting with this organization, staff at the foundation, we began hearing more from local providers of domestic violence prevention and treatment services due to federal cuts in their funding. So they were approaching us for assistance with their mental health, substance abuse programs, and with their safe houses. At the same time, our mental health grantees and substance abuse providers were also talking more about the needs that the demands on their organizations from victims of domestic violence and from offenders. At the same time, the Center for Public Policy Research began hearing more interest bubbling up from legislators in North Carolina about the issue of domestic violence policy. And a lot of work had been done with the North Carolina Council of Women on Women and the Commission on Domestic Violence there. So we felt that the environment or the stars were aligned for some good public policy research that could potentially make a difference there. So for the low price of $82,500, we provided a one-year grant to the center to achieve these objectives here. One was to conduct some research on key public policy issues affecting victims of DV. Second was to raise the level of public debate and to move the issue of domestic violence on the public agenda. And finally, to clarify which policy issues needed the attention of public officials and to recommend any changes that could take place to improve public policy there. After 1 year, these were the results that were achieved. For the first objective, which was basically to conduct research to look at the needs and the gaps, a major 89-page study was published and put in North Carolina Insight, and the publication was sent to all 700 North Carolina media outlets, in addition to the center's 700 members and 160 contributors. So wide dissemination of this information. Research outcomes on the extent of domestic violence was recognized that we didn't have data for previously. And of course, it was very concerning, the facts that were uncovered. For example, North Carolina had 224 domestic violence-related deaths from 2002 to 2004. We also saw that North Carolina had been among the top 10 states in homicide rates for females murdered by males in 5 of the 6 years from 97 to 2002. We also found that conviction rates for domestic violence charges differed widely among North Carolina counties. We also received information on the demand for services. In 2003, almost 45,000 victims sought services in one of the 90 local domestic violence agencies, and this was a 27% increase from over that five-year period. We saw that 17 counties had no shelter out of the 100 counties, and in the counties that did have shelters, they were often too small and had to turn women away. Abuser treatment programs were only available in 66 counties, and family courts were only available in 8 judicial districts in 16 counties. On the second objective, which was to raise the public debate issue, in March of 2005, just a week after releasing that 89-page study, the grantee gained statewide coverage on 90 radio stations in the North Carolina News Radio Network and did half-hour to one-hour radio programs on four stations, so really caught the attention of the media. And the third outcome related to policy change, which is most exciting. The Center for Public Policy Research made 9 recommendations, and I'm happy to report that many of those have been enacted into law. In 2005, the legislature created a new joint legislative study commission with members of the House and the Senate, and these folks became champions in the legislature for the other recommendations to keep momentum going on this issue. Secondly, the state, it was recommended that the state expand family courts because those types of courts have a record of being able to handle all types of domestic violence issues rather than sending families into many different counties and separate adjudications. At that time, only 16 of North Carolina counties had family courts, but the new legislation mandates a statewide expansion, so this is a big success. Although they are using the caveat phrase, as resources allow, still there's legislative commitment to making this happen. In 2006, we gained passage of legislation implementing 3 more recommendations from our study on domestic violence. First, the creation of a family court in Wake County, which is where Raleigh, the capital, is, with reoccurring funds appropriated. Second, the appropriation of $350,000 reoccurring funds to the Department of Administration for the establishment of new shelters and expanding existing shelters. And third, the continuation of the joint House and Senate Legislative Study Commission. In 2007, the General Assembly enacted legislation recommended by the Center that required the reporting of domestic violence homicides. And surprisingly, until this study was funded, that data was not provided. We hope to achieve several more legislative victories in 2008 on the rest of our recommendations. I wanted to shift and talk with you just briefly about private foundations and their role in policy. Kate B. Reynolds, where I work, has not been a foundation that's traditionally funded advocacy or policy work. This is very new for us. We kind of stuck our neck out there and took a risk, and we were really surprised to see the impact that $80,000 or so had, compared to funding a direct service. And so I just want to encourage you to partner with your local foundations on your policy work. The 3 major phases of public policy development here, investigative, action for change, and implementation phase, foundations can actually play a role in partnering with you in any or all of those phases. In the first phase of public policy development, this is where you identify the problem or the opportunity, you determine who is affected by that issue, you gather information about what options or solutions exist, and then bring together key players for deliberation and discussion. This is probably very ideally suited for a foundation to partner with organizations to do this type of work. Depending on the foundation that you know or and their comfort level and what type of work they do, this may be a great place to partner with them. In the second phase, is the action for change phase. This is where you plan for public policy and civic action. You build the capacity of groups that will engage in advocacy and then organize and mobilize activities to influence the government, the media, and possibly business and nonprofit decision makers. All throughout these steps and these phases, foundations can play a role also in partnering with you. In my resources, I don't have time to go into it, but you can, where I pulled this information from, they give you several ideas where a foundation can partner with you along the way in your public policy work. Finally, the implementation phase. This is really probably the most ideally suited for many foundations. Once you've identified the problem and you're ready to implement some solutions, foundations are often laboratories where you can take a risk and try some creative solutions towards some work. So foundations can help you work with agencies and other groups to put the agreed upon change into place and then assist in evaluating and tracking results. I'm going to skip over this part, but you can go to the conference server here to look at some tips for working with foundations that I've provided. These are just some ideas and information that I pulled together from some other colleagues in the philanthropy field. about sort of some do's and don'ts in working with foundations. In closing, I want to leave you with this quote that was mentioned by the California Wellness Foundation CEO, Gary Yates. He said, "Through our public policy grantees, we have seen policies enacted that can improve the health of far more Californians than we could ever have hoped to reach through funding direct services alone." So many foundations may be in the business of funding direct services like KB Rentals, but little by little we are realizing the potential and the impact of funding policy work. So the takeaway that I want to leave you with is to encourage you as possibly frontline folks to build relationships with your foundations, educate them about policy, the policy change process if they're not already there, and work together toward innovative solutions. Thank you very much.